Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is Seth Green, and you are listening to Somewhere in Vegas with Mark, and I am so hot, I would desperately like a glass of water. Please, please, give me some water.
This is Cindy Preston, and I'm with Mark on Somewhere in Vegas.
Hi, this is Melissa Peterman from CMT's The Singing Bee and the television show Reba. And I have to tell you, I just have to get it off my chest, I love Somewhere in Vegas with Mark.
Hi there. This is Faith Roscoe from General Hospital. You're listening to Mark on Somewhere in Vegas. And you better watch out. We know how to find you if you're not listening.
Hi, this is Shannon Egan from Whippet. And I love Somewhere in Vegas with Mark.
Hey, this is Lee Allen Baker with Somewhere in Vegas. Talking with Mark with a Q.
This is Courtney Cronin. You're listening to Somewhere in Vegas with your host, Mark. And I would make sure to listen every week because he's a sure bet.
Hey, this is the Money Man, Eddie Money. I got two tickets to Paradise. And you know what? It's Somewhere in Vegas. And what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Hi, this is Crystal Gale, and I love Somewhere in Vegas with Mark.
Hi, this is Terry Nunn from Berlin, and you're listening to Mark Somewhere in Vegas.
Hi, this is Miracle Laurie from Joss Whedon's Dollhouse. There are three flowers in a vase, and I'm listening to Somewhere in Vegas with Mark.
Hi, this is Erin Hill, and you are listening to Mark on Blog Talk Radio and Somewhere in Vegas. Mark is a great guy.
Hi, this is Sean Pulaski. I'm still trying to figure out Mark Pico's sexuality, but I know you're listening to Somewhere Live in Vegas.
Here you go, Mark. I'm sorry. I thought you were she. I'm sorry. Get out of the tent. Let's get out of here.
Hey, this is Lance and Anna from Free Radio. And Anna?
And you're listening to Somewhere in Vegas.
Yes.
My favorite.
You know, that's usually what happens with me. I go to Vegas and I get lost, and so I end up somewhere in Vegas.
Somewhere in Vegas.
But
right.
I just don't know where it is.
Not quite sure.
Yeah, word.
Get ready. It's going to be hot. It's in Vegas. Check out Mark. Be there or be square.
Welcome, everybody, to Somewhere in Vegas here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm Mark with a Q. I'm your host. We have two, maybe more than two, exciting guests on today. In just a few moments, we'll have Torchy Smith on with us, talking a little bit about his new book, Sweeting the Breeze with Baby Boomer Stars, and his radio show over on iHeartRadio, Baby Boomers Talk Radio. And then certainly after that, we'll be talking to the rock band The Vix out of the steel city of Pittsburgh. We'll be talking to them a little bit about their new single, Fourth and Clay, and, you know, doing some touring around the United States. I'm going to go play a little music right here. We're going to get a hold of Torchy because Torchy asked us to give him a call. So we're going to do a little Lighter Shade of Grey, and when we come back in just a few moments, we'll have Torchy Smith on with us.
Okay.
That was Hot Blooded by Sophie Radish, and before that we had a little of Shelley Rain with Lighter Shade of Gray. I gave Torch a call. I got his voicemail, so we're waiting on him to possibly give us a call in, so we'll kind of wait on that. Like I said, we'll have the Vicks coming up in just about, I would say, about 20 minutes. We'll be talking to them a little bit about their new single, Fourth and Clay, and, you know, being out there. I mean, we've had quite a few artists out of the Pittsburgh area, which has been crazy, to be able to say at least, Pennsylvania area as well. So it'd be interesting to see what goes on there. I mean, the music scene seems to be very, very hot right there in the Steel City. So it'll be interesting to talk to them a little bit about their band and their music. So it'll be great to be able to talk to it as well. Like I said, we're kind of, you know, we're doing some transition over to Spreaker. Our newsfeed's still a little bit messed up. For some reason, our feed is not, our RSS feed is not getting over to the Spreaker people. So I've had to physically download our episodes down to Spreaker. So you'll be noticing a couple of delays in a couple of the episodes for the past couple of weeks. We should be on track pretty much this week, hopefully. I'll just stop by Spreaker and start downloading stuff from the Blog Talk Radio site. I'm not exactly sure what's going on with that. I am connected via the RSS feed there, but for some reason it's not picking it up. So I'll have to transfer it over there physically. So if you guys are listening over to Spreaker or iHeartRadio, I'll have that those episodes uploaded for you guys over there this week. So we'll be caught up in this episode as well. Well, more than likely going to be edited because we have to wait for Torchy to be able to give us a little bit of time to talk and the Vicks to be able to talk to. So, and I hadn't heard anything back from Lex, so I think we're kind of in a situation where we're probably not going to have Lex on unless we get any confirmation or anything like that. So I will say that we have Rebecca Metz coming on next week. She'll be talking a little bit. She has a couple of good hits shows out right now, among them Better Things on FX. She's going to be appearing tomorrow night, the 25th of March, as well, to be able to have that. I think it's 25th of March. It might be 25th of April. I'll have to double-check on that. But she's going to be appearing on Better Things. She's a series regular on there anyway, so it'll be interesting to be able to see her there as well. If you guys are big fans of Shameless, you may remember Rebecca from that show as well. So we'll have her on next week. What I'm going to do is play another song. I'm going to try Torchy one more time. If I get a voice, well, actually, I'm going to email his publicist to double-check to see what's going on with his interview. There might have been a mix-up in terms of the days, but we'll see what goes on there. Like I said, part of this show is going to be edited anyway over the Spreaker portion of the podcast. So I'm going to play, let's see here, is a good song to play while we're waiting for Elijah. We'll play Elijah's music. He was a guest on a couple of weeks ago. This is his new single, Kill It For Me. And we will be right back, hopefully, with Torchy Smith.
Time, and wherever I go, all these girls be looking. Baby,
And that was Chelsea Milner, that was pretty enough. Before that, it was Killing It for Me by Elijah, and it looks like our guest is now on the line. Torchy Smith's on with us right now. How are you doing, Torchy?
Okay, I'm sorry about the mix-up, but I am here.
Okay, no problem at all. How's everything going, and how's the show going?
They keep on coming, and there's so many baby boomers out there that were stars, it never ends.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you can pull them out of the movies I see on Turner Classic Movies. I always say, whatever happened to that person? and eventually I find them. So, and there's, of course, a lot of good ones that people recognize right away when they see them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and quite a few of them are still active as well. I mean, quite a few are still acting, well into their careers as well. I mean, you know, it's got to be fun to be able to see, maybe have interviewed somebody, several decades before and see that they're still working.
Well, I'll tell you something. If they're not working in front of the camera, they're working behind the camera. A lot of them became writers or did kind of special things in the industry. A little boy, for instance, on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, Richie. Well, Richie is not in front of the camera, but he calls on all the movie makers and TV people to do – he sells digital type of conversions. And it's much different than the old days when they did pre-op movies and post-production work. So there's just so many businesses out there, and some of them gravitated to it. Some of them did not. I want to tell you one little story, one of my favorite stories, is a guy named Lyle Waggoner, who was the heartthrob, if you remember. He was in Playgirl, and he was on the Carol Burnett Show, okay? So his last job was on Wonder Woman. He was a captain in the Army, played, and all of a sudden he has a movie trailer. And so he asked the production people, he says, if I bought this movie trailer and rented it back to you, would you do it? The guy says, yeah. He says, well, how much should I charge? He said about $400 a week. He says, where do you get these from? And the guy told him, and there's different places they go to. So he buys his movie trailer. He leases it back to them. And all of a sudden, he says, I'm going to get into this business. 1,000 trailers later, almost every movie production goes to him to buy these movie trailers as dressing rooms.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's great to be able to see that. I mean, I just had Gillian Green on a couple weeks ago, who's Lauren Green's daughter, and she's behind the camera now. But it was great to be able to hear from her about, you know, being behind the scenes, about, you know, being able to learn and absorb a lot from a lot of her father's productions as well. I mean, yeah, it's been interesting to see that, you know, some of these stars that, you know, even the younger stars, you know, kind of learned of themselves wanting to get out of acting, maybe go behind the camera a little bit more, or, you know, continue their work there, or become a writer or something like that as well. It's been really interesting to see that as well.
Yeah, well, you had to have a plan B. And if your parents didn't live off your income back then, most of these child actors had a plan B. Or even if they're not child actors, I mean, if they were a big hit for in their 20s or 30s, you still had to have a plan B. And in those days, pre-1965, on sitcoms and other programs on TV, there's no residuals. And the residuals, after a while, even after 1965, as the TV programs are shown over and over and over again, the residuals get less and less and less. I've talked to movie stars and TV stars. They've gotten checks for 13 cents on a residual. So, today, though, if you have a hit show like with Friends, those four people, they got it made for the rest of their life because they're being repeated all the time, and the residuals were in their contracts. So a big difference from the baby boomers to what's going on today.
And not to mention digital rights as well, because a lot of the shows are now digital. A lot of the shows on the major networks are on networks like Hulu and CBS
uh-huh.
All Access. And there's, I don't know if, you know, they even considered, you know, obviously they couldn't have even considered back in the day digital rights in terms of that as well. I mean, it's crazy to think.
No, they made them and said, who's going to want to watch this again? And their agents
yeah.
and their managers weren't savvy at all about that. A few of them were. And believe it or not, it's a little dicey when I get into this story, but there was a TV program called Make Room for Daddy, and it starred the Danny Thomas people, if you remember Danny Thomas. And he had a daughter, Sherry Jackson, and he had a wife. And all of a sudden, they're gone. And I won't get into why right now. You have to read my book. But all of a sudden, he's got a new wife and a new daughter. And they said to the people they got rid of, they said, listen, we're going to let you out of your contract. And we're going to give you residual rights, even way back in the 50s and 60s. And you're going to have it made because we think this program is going to be repeated a lot. Well, as it happened, when people go to pick up for retro TV stations and they see the cost of it is much higher because of that, they don't show it. So that has a lot to do with what is on TV in those retro kind of stations that you see on the top end of your radio stations. Like, and here it's a number 971 retro TV or Me TV. So it's a business. That's why they call it show business.
Yeah. You know, speaking of which, I mean, you know, there was a big, huge controversy about Star Trek and that, you know, once, you know, they started clamping down on, you know, fan-made films and all that as well. I mean, you know, and it became such a cult hit that, you know, people absolutely loved it. And we're seeing this quite often. I mean, again, another thing that boomers couldn't necessarily see coming was the fact that, I would call it retro chic, but the idea of having, you know, to being able to watch some of these old shows and to have conventions or to be able to have a fan base, kind of a cult fan
yeah.
base for it
yeah.
as well. I mean, that, you know, it's kind of crazy, but the cool thing about that is that it did give the actors a second career.
It does, and I go to these shows, and I've even helped some of the movie stars from the past with the shows. I even helped organize one, and yeah, it's unbelievable that there are some professional people who come in there who are professional memorabilia people, and they'll have a thing called a Golden Book, maybe, or a poster from that era, and they have the movie stars sign it. And it becomes quite valuable. And then there's just the regular people who want an autograph and a picture, you know, for $30. So it sort of gives them a second career, but I'm going to tell you something and my prediction. And it's not putting down the younger generation, but it sort of is. when I was a kid, I'm 71, by the way, and we had three stations, NBC, ABC, and CBS, and when Superman was on, starring George Reeves, or the Mickey Mouse Club, when we went to school the next day, that's all we talked about. There was nothing else to talk about. Those were kid shows, and we didn't have a choice. So that's why at 71, we all know who those people are, and we've watched them, and we've talked about them. Today, or I should say 30 years from now, with today's programs, it's just too much. There's thousands of things to remember and thousands of programs. And the memorabilia of 50 years from now or 30 years from now or 20 years from now, yeah, well, you were on for one season and you know, your career was over real fast and you're kind of a blend-in type of thing. So it's not going to be the same. The reason why we're the golden era is because we really are the last of the golden era. And maybe the last happy days. The reason why we call them happy days is they really were. Nobody knew how bad it, other people had it.
Yeah, you know, it's a situation where, you know, like I said, yeah, like back in the day, you could never have thought of what television is now. In 30 years, we're going to be in the same situation where we would never feel that, where television will be in the next 30 years and how much content is out there. I mean, you were a little bit limited in terms of the content, in terms of what you were saying. That was what you were talking about.
Yeah, we were more than a little bit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk
about my granddaughter comes over.
Yeah, but
yeah, my book. Yes. You can talk about my book.
Go ahead and finish what you're saying.
No, I was going to say when my granddaughter comes over, I'll say, "Well, okay, you want to watch TV? What about this? Nope. Next. What about this? Nope. Next." What about this? No, next. And I go through like 14 things before she picks something. You know, like if you only had two choices, you know, you didn't have to make up your mind.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the book. I mean, just to have had so much of a list of interviews and to be able to have done interviewed so many people, you've probably learned a lot and, you know, about the business.
Oh, yeah.
Even learn about a little bit about people. I mean, tell me a little bit about that.
Okay, well, Geraldo Rivera is a friend of mine. He's been a friend for 15 years. And if you want to know why, you'll have to read my book. He also did the foreword. And also the first chapter has something like a saga how I got into doing this and how my interest developed and sort of as a theme throughout the whole book. I started with the original Mouseketeers and a lot of the Disney characters, and not all of them were happy people later on. And I got into Leave It to Beaver and Tony Dow, who I used to date the same girl as him, by the way, here in Cleveland, and that's a long story. I loved Animal House, so I started interviewing people from Animal House. Many of your viewers will remember the Munster, so I got a hold of Eddie Munster. And after a while, of course, I got on iHeartRadio, so you could hear all my interviews on iHeartRadio. And once I got on there, a few agents that represent these type of people, when they had a book out to promote, he would call me or they would call me, and I got interviews that way also. So I took the 50 most, what I thought the 50 most interesting interviews, and I called the subtitle Surprising Celebrity Conversations for the Retro Generation. So I take some of the things that were quite surprising that they couldn't talk about back then, but and a lot of people didn't know about, and talk about it now.
So yeah, and you guys
can books about. I'm
and
sorry,
you guys
go ahead.
Can purchase I was gonna say that you guys can purchase the book on Amazon right now, and you guys can check out some of really just absolutely fabulous stories about what's been going on as well. Have you had the opportunity to interview Cindy Morgan at all by any chance?
I'm sorry, who?
Cindy Morgan, on Caddyshack and Tron.
No.
Okay.
No.
I've had the opportunity to. I'd love to have her. I'll have to give you her information. I think she would be a very interesting interview for you.
I would love that. Yes. I'm picturing who she is now. One of the girls. The reason why I got a little off on that one. One of the girls that was in Caddyshack was also in Animal House. And she was the one who played the supermarket, the owner of the supermarket, the daughter, where they came in and stole all that stuff, and then he took her to the toga party. And some of the people are trying to find her. I have a couple who are from Animal House that did a reunion, and they can't find her. So, but she was also in Caddyshack. So I'm not sure that's the same girl, but probably not.
Yep. Where can people find you on social media, Torchy?
Okay. Well, this is going to be easy. There's only one Torchy Smith. If you Google my name, TORCHYSMITH. And I'm not Torchy's Tacos. The book will come up pretty fast if you Google my name, but it's called Shooting the Breeze with Baby Boomer Stars. And my website is www.babyboomerstalkradio. So that's the easiest way. And,
yeah.
I'm on Facebook. But I have more than 5,000 friends, so I can't. They won't let you take any more than 5,000. But I also have a group called the VIP Baby Boomers. So you can find me that way also. But if you just Google Torchy Smith, it'll all come up.
Okay, awesome, Torchy. Yeah, my next guests are kind of on the line right now. So we have we'll have to reschedule because I know there's quite a lot of questions I still wanted to ask you. So we'll have to
– I apologize. I thought you were going to call me, and I apologize. I got my wires crossed here, but I would love to talk more with you. And it would be great if we could reschedule and do more.
Definitely.
A lot to talk about.
Definitely. We'll definitely. I'll definitely rebook you at some point within the next couple months. So,
okay.
Yeah, especially after when I revamp the show. So, we'll talk.
Okay.
We'll talk
one
then.
Other thing. And you can reach me. My email, if you want to give me that person, is babyboomerstalkradio@gmail.com. I'll give that out too.
Okay. Yeah. If we can figure out where the gal from Animal House is, please let us know.
Yes. Yeah. She was the one that had if you don't have the original in the original she was nude from the top up and she was only supposed to be 14 years old, but everything is politically incorrect back then. So,
yeah, exactly. And, you know, absolute pleasure, Torchy, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. All right. Thanks again.
Yep. No problem.
Bye now.
Bye. That was Torchy Smith, everybody. You guys can check out his book, Shooting the Breeze with Baby Boomer Stars, Surprising Celebrity Conversations for the Retro Generation, over on Amazon right now. And you guys can check out his show as well. Now I would like to introduce my guests at this time. There are very cool fusion rock bands of indie and blues. They're from the Steel City of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Their new single out is Fourth and Clay. We have the Vicks on with us right now. Are you there, guys?
Yeah, how's it going?
sorry for the delay. Torchy was a little bit late.
No. Yeah, not a problem, not a problem. This is Bobby from the Vicks.
Yeah, hey Bobby. You know, how's everything been going with the guys?
It's been great. It's been real good. Keeping busy, trying to putting out music, you know, living the dream.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, how's it been in the studio for this time around?
This time it was interesting. We all met down in university, and we were in a recording program, and we took advantage of all the facilities down there. But this was our first time actually going to a pro studio, working with producer. Just really doing it not so much on our own as we had done in the past.
I mean, did you learn a lot from that process? I mean, obviously having a seasoned producer behind, a seasoned engineer behind the board, did you guys kind of learn a lot during this process?
Oh yeah, tons. Because we study engineering and so there's a lot to learn on both the like producing side as well as the technical sort of aspects, and we just soaked up as much as we could because we realized we had a unique opportunity there.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to be able to go from where you've been in terms of, you know, being able to kind of record and edit and, you know, and really kind of, you know, produce your own music to a studio setting as well. I mean, a lot of musicians have that opportunity to be able to learn first about what's going on behind the scenes, to what's going on now. I mean, a lot of the guests that I've had on the show, their first time in a studio is a little bit intimidating. But obviously, you know, obviously it was something a little bit different for you guys in terms of being in a professional studio this time around as well. But what was it like for you guys back in college, just learning and soaking up this information? And, you know, what kind of got you into wanting to do that?
Yeah, so we all kind of met. That's how we met. We met down going to school in the major. It's a commercial technology program. And you choose an instrument, basically, and you also focus on recording. So that's how we all met. But for me, I personally received a guitar from my uncle when I was around 10 years old, and that, like, the guitar became my life at that point. And then he would eventually visit with microphones and interfaces. So I got really into trying to record songs, and I wanted to make them sound, you know, like you hear them on the radio. So that's kind of always been my goal and my passion as well. And then it just worked out wonderfully going to school and meeting a few dudes that wanted to do the same thing.
I'd be remiss not to ask this question, because I ask this question to every musician that comes on the show. Have you named your guitar at all?
No, I haven't. You know, my friends do it, some of them, but I don't know why I haven't. I didn't know it was a thing, actually, until a couple of years ago. But I don't think I will, no.
What was your first guitar, by the way?
It was a Squire Stratocaster. And I had a small Marshall amp that I would play through.
Do you still have it?
Oh yeah, totally. My instructor when I was younger, he said the one thing he regretted in his life was when he sold his first guitar. So I've kept that tucked in the back of my head.
Now, do you own an acoustic as well, or do you write on electric only?
I own an Epiphone acoustic as well. Yeah. But I write on that one a lot, I play my electric guitar primarily.
What's the process with you guys in terms of writing a song? Is it a situation where somebody will bring lyrics, or somebody has an idea for a melody, or or is it a situation where it's kind of a combination of both?
Yeah, it varies with each tune. And I'm going to apologize. I might sneeze or something. I'm a little bit under the weather. But, yeah, so it usually varies with each tune. But typically I usually write all the lyrics. I'll sit down and I'll kind of come up with a roadmap of chords and lyrics, and then I'll get together with the guys, and they might want to tweak some things or throw in they might tweak some things. But then usually – we'll come together. It's always a lot different from how it starts. But recently we've been also taking into account a bunch, like adding a whole, like tons of layers and things that we're trying. But yeah, typically, sorry, I got a little bit off track there. But yeah, usually I'll bring it to them and we'll kind of iron out the parts and kind of see what else this song can become, you know?
Yeah, what's probably the fastest that you guys have written a song?
I definitely think that we've written one in a day. I've written one definitely in a day. But typically, like a complete song, usually we just wrote one pretty recently that took us, I took me a little bit longer to put lyrics behind, but we had the song mapped out pretty much after a couple days.
That also brings me to, go ahead.
Yeah, sometimes they'll write themselves, you know, it seems like, and they'll just, and sometimes, you know, we'll get halfway through a song and we won't really think about it. And then a couple months down the road, we'll be like, oh, we'll find what perfectly could fit there and stuff like that.
Yeah, another question I like to ask is, you know, do you ever kind of look back at some of the stuff that you may have kept, kept when you were maybe younger, or you know, before the band or whatever, where, you know, or even the band had an idea that they just could not flesh out and, you know, just come back to it at some point, you know, because they feel maybe now's the right time for it, or, you know, you kind of was thinking about it, or, you know, has that ever happened?
Yeah, that's happened, I think, a couple times. It's more so with, like, sections of songs, you know, like a bridge or maybe an intro or something that if we come up with it, but it doesn't really seem like it can go anywhere. Occasionally, it'll as we're working on another tune, will be, oh, this will fit perfectly here. But typically, that doesn't happen too often. Just I think because we get excited when we write new ones, so we just kind of focus on those, and sometimes we'll pull out some old riffs and stuff, but typically we just keep writing in new parts for it.
Yeah, now you guys have performed pretty much across the United States. A lot of the bands or musicians that I've talked to over the past mm-hmm. couple of years, sometimes are haven't yet made that leap yet, where they're really starting to concentrate on a national stage as well. I mean, how's it been for you to be able to go out in front of a live audience and different live audiences, as it were, and kind of get that reaction from them?
Yeah, it's been cool. I think we're still kind of working on making that that leap. But, yeah, we've gone up to Canada. We've played in Toronto once. We play all over, but it's really cool because everyone's different everywhere, and that's fairly obvious. But playing our same songs and seeing it just being in different environments and the way that people react to them in different environments is always really interesting as well. So that's been fun. It's always a very positive and fun time.
Yeah, conversely, I mean, the scene in Pittsburgh, it just seems like I've been getting quite a few bands out of Pittsburgh being interviewed mm-hmm. on the show as well. I mean, it seems like, Pittsburgh and Pennsylvania itself seems to be really kind of, growing as a music scene as well. How's it for you to see the scene currently in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, it's exciting. I moved here about a year ago, and I'm from Erie, Pennsylvania, excuse me, and there wasn't really much of a music scene up there, at least for me and my kind of music. But then once I moved to Pittsburgh, I realized that there's shows, you can almost find a show every other night if you really look. And then it seems the festivals are starting to get bigger and bigger. They're bringing in more national acts to come through, so that's always exciting. It does bring in competition and getting a spot to play, but that's all right. It's all very exciting.
Yeah, now it's starting to get a little bit warmer. I know out here it's getting to feel more like spring, but I don't know how it is out in Pittsburgh. But we got to think about about summer and all that as well. I mean, are you guys planning on playing some dates during the summer?
Yeah, we're doing a few spots around here in Pittsburgh. We'll be playing some festivals, and we're trying to maybe branch out and get some shows in some other states and things to try and really build up a more more uncentralized fan base, kind of have it more spread out.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously, social media will have a lot to do with that as well. I mean, how's it been to have that access to the social media and to be able to get some reaction from the fans?
I think it's good. I really enjoy the social media part of it, at least Instagram. I'm a big fan of Instagram, but it helps keep us connected, even if, because we haven't put out music in, I'd say, almost 2 years since our previous release. On March 9th, we put out a new single. But, sorry, where were we going with that again?
But just the reaction of the fans that have listened to you.
Oh,
guys,
yeah.
Supporting you guys.
Social media helps. Yeah, it helps us keep real intimate relationship with our fans, because we can post, keep people updated, and still kind of be a little bit entertaining, even though we're not entertaining them at the moment with a show or a new music.
Yeah, with this new single, Fourth and Clay, I mean, how was the process for it? Was it something that you guys thought would be the first single? Was it something that was a little bit debated? Or tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think we chose that one just because we felt it really captured the scene of the song, I guess is the way to phrase it. Excuse me. But, yeah, we thought that one really just had a complete sort of energy and aura about it that really locked it in with the lyrics and the music. So we felt it was our strongest one to kind of start off and be like, hey, this is kind of how we've progressed now and how we handle ourselves.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, any plans on making a music video for this one, or are you just trying to leave it be?
I think we're kind of in the process of getting one thrown together right now.
And then, like I said, you guys are obviously back in the studio. I mean, you know, it'd be nice to have a couple more songs, you know, under guys's purview as well. I mean, what's the plans? I mean, are we going to have a full fledged album? Or are we going to have a couple more singles coming out this year?
excuse me. Yeah, I mean, we haven't really decided. I personally would like to just keep writing as much as we can, and that's kind of where we're at right now while we're releasing these new songs. So, I mean, time will tell, but our goal is to write as much and as well as we can, and then we'll see from there.
Yeah, I believe Fourth and Clay is available on all everywhere you can probably get music, Spotify, Apple, iTunes, etc.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's available on Bandcamp, yeah, everywhere else.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's on SoundCloud yet, but yeah.
Okay. And where can you guys find you guys on the social media?
Yeah, so I'd recommend our Facebook or our Instagram page. Facebook is at the Vix Band, and Instagram is at the Vix Official.
Okay, yeah, definitely check them out as well. And like I said, you might be touring some, you know, in the Northeast. So if you guys in the Northeast area, make sure you guys check out the Vix as well and download their new single as well. Anything else coming up for you guys?
We're gonna keep writing and keep recording.
Well, I hope you feel better and get over whatever's going on with you right now. And
yeah,
maybe hopefully within the next couple of years we make it out west here to Vegas and to be able to perform.
Yeah, totally. That'd be great.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks a lot for joining us, and we'll talk to you later, Bobby. And best luck to you.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
No problem. We'll talk to you soon.
Yep, bye.
Bye. That was Bobby from the Vix, everybody. You guys can check out their new single, Fourth and Clay. Like I said, the Vix Band on Facebook and the Vix Official on Instagram. You guys check them out there as well. Next week, like I said, we're going to have Rebecca Metz on with us. Rebecca Metz from the TV show Shameless. Currently on the TV show Better Things. Also, Cody and Corey Ask Everything. I believe that's correct. Excuse me if that is wrong, but she'll be on next week talking a little bit about that as well. Like I said, when we start getting into May, that'll be when we start to really shift. We'll have some co-hosts coming in, and we'll really be expanding it. So maybe we'll get Torchy back on May for when we start to do the relaunch of the show and we get everything kind of taken care of. And I'll introduce you to my new co-hosts as well. So you guys can check us out on Twitter at SWIV, at SWIV, and Somewhere in Vegas on Facebook. Remember, we're over on Spreaker right now too. You guys can go to iHeartRadio and find us as well. Go to, you can also ask Alexa for iHeartRadio and Somewhere in Vegas and listen to the latest episodes. You guys can check that out as well. We're on Facebook as well, Somewhere in Vegas. Like I said, our website's currently down. We'll have something a little bit more, hopefully, once we revamp the whole show as well. That in mind, we'll be back next week, same time, 3 p.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, with actress Rebecca Metz. With that in mind, we'll talk to you guys then.